Cunha.
It's been just about a month for Expat Hoops, and been about a month we've known Fallon. However, in this COVID world, what is time anyway? We've had four guests come on, and we've gotten to know them all pretty well. We've shared their stories, and we've had a blast so far. Up until today, Mike Morrison was our only two-time guest. Now Fallon is going to tie him. Honestly, as much as we talk with Fallon off the pod and enjoy talking with her so much, she's very likely to shoot into first place on appearances very shortly. We've kicked around the title of special correspondent for her and like the way that sounds.
If this is the first time hearing our podcast, welcome. If this is the first time hearing Fallon, welcome. And we highly suggest you listen to her first appearance. She talked about her college career at Adelphi University, how she got started on the path to playing professionally, and what she was looking forward to as she was set to embark on the second tier professional league in Iceland. And now she's back to update us on how things are going for her. And we couldn't be happier to have her back. Fallon Stevens, welcome back to Expat Hoops. When you came to Iceland, there were several issues that you ran into. Tell us a little bit about first, when you first came to the country, what you had to go through upon entry, and what you, some of the things you did during your mandatory quarantine period before you were able to really get on the basketball court and start working with the team.
Yeah, so I would say, honestly, the first problem that I kind of came to was the only flights coming out of the United States going to Iceland were on Thursdays and Sundays out of Boston. So that really limited the day that I could leave, I guess. And so everything was confirmed for me on a Friday, and then I left that Sunday. So that was a pretty quick period to just like turn around and make sure everything was packed, even though I'd been packed for a couple of weeks. And then I got on the plane, and that was my first European international flight. So I was pretty amazed about how big the flight was. It was like a two-seat, three-seat, two-seat. And because of COVID and because of all of these travel restrictions, I actually had nobody in that whole entire row. It was just me, which was kind of nice. And they had prepared meals for us. Well, basically like a sub sandwich and a banana and water because they couldn't have like a hot meal. And the flight was only 4.5 hours. So that was almost even unnecessary. But as soon as I arrived, going through customs was a lot easier than I thought it would be. And then I had to, in advance, pay for and download a COVID tracking app. So right whenever I got through customs, I had to go through that and get the COVID test, which was interesting. It's not as bad as what everybody makes it seem, I don't think, at least. But as I was walking up to get the test, all you hear is people gagging and sneezing. So going into it, I was a little concerned, but it wasn't as bad as what it sounded and as what other people made it seem, for myself at least.
Yeah, my understanding, it was just unpleasant and unexpected. That's basically it.
Some people are overly dramatic, and some of those people would be me if I had to go through that test.
Yeah, it's just uncomfortable. It's not painful. It's just like very uncomfortable. And then after that, I was taken right to my little quarantine cottage, which was really nice. And I actually thought, so on my way there, the guy that picked me up, he obviously had a mask on and gloves and wasn't allowed to help with the luggage just because of COVID. But as soon as he went into the store, I thought it was funny coming from the United States. He goes into the store and takes off his mask to go in when all of us would, you know, put your mask on to go in. So yeah, masks aren't as noticeable here. Most people don't wear them actually. So he took his mask off to go in the grocery store to get me groceries and then put it back on to get in the car with me, which I thought was interesting and kind of funny. But as soon as I got to my cottage, which was very nice, and I was so happy where it was, I thought everything was beautiful, and they thought I was crazy for thinking that where I was at was pretty scenery. But they're just used to it, I think. And they brought me meals for the whole entire 5 to 6 days that I was there. They went grocery shopping for me, and then I think they delivered pizza to me once or twice, which was nice, and it was really good. But all I did really was I was able to go outside, which was nice. and I could go for runs and go to the beach, which was not too far away. And which another thing I thought was interesting is that there was a golf course within like steps of where I was staying. And I think Icelanders love golf because it would be 40 degrees and windy as anything, and they would be golfing. So they must be pretty good golfers as well if they can golf in the wind that we have here.
There is it's interesting you mentioned that, and I'll specifically speak to this because one of my own I guess bucket list items is that playing golf at midnight, because in the summertime the days are so long, you never get any sort of nighttime. It's basically like, I don't know, 4 or 5 p.m. That time of night. So Andy and I were talking on the last podcast about our avid golfing, but that's just something that is noteworthy to all throw out there.
Yeah, in fact, I think we put it, I can't remember if it was on my personal or if it was on the Expat Hoops Instagram account, but I put that it was a business meeting when we last played on Friday. But it was actually really interesting, speaking of our Instagram account for Expat Hoops, like you were nice enough to share some of the pictures with us and encourage people to go take a look at our Instagram feed, because those pictures are just stunning. And it's, I understand that that might be what people can get used to and everything, but it's just beautiful scenery. And I mean, I think you and I talked off the pod about like, all right, you're in quarantine, but is it really that bad when this is the scenery? Right.
Exactly. And that's what I told them. I kept saying how beautiful it was and how amazing the land was. And they're like, I've heard of other places in Iceland being beautiful, but never the town you're in. I'm like, maybe it's because I'm from Ohio, but I'm not sure.
Scenic Ohio.
But how long was quarantine actually?
So it was only about 5 days. And then the sixth day, I go back into the capital to take my second test, and it only took 4 hours, I believe, for the test to come back negative and for them to alert me that it was negative. And then a girl on the team, her family was nice enough to have me over for dinner that night. And we had hamburgers, which another fun fact about Iceland is that they have a sauce for basically everything. They have a sauce called hamburger sauce, and they have a cocktail sauce and a pepper sauce and a sauce for mashed potatoes and a sauce for anything you might be able to think of. And I thought that was interesting. They didn't use ketchup or mustard. Hamburger sauce is what it was. And
do you know like what the sauce is like, or like what it's based off of? Or if you don't know, that's fine.
It's almost like a ketchup and like mayonnaise combined in a way.
Yeah. I think Heinz sells that here.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. They sell all that mixed stuff. I've seen interested and horrified posts about the things that Heinz mixes with ketchup and you can buy off the shelf. So.
Yeah. It was interesting, but it was good.
This is quickly going to turn into a cooking podcast because like Kate and I were discussing.
So does the last one.
That's what I'm saying. It's going to quickly turn into, okay, let's talk a little bit about basketball, but then let's talk about food.
Right.
So that's good. I know that, this is actually kind of food related because of one of the perks we talked about this. So you hit a little bit of a snag in going from your quarantine cottage to your apartment. What was that snag?
Yes. So because of COVID, the soccer team here in town, their season was still going on. And the person living in my apartment prior was a soccer player. And so I was staying with my coach and his family, which was awesome because the food for dinner every single night was absolutely amazing. And I had a very Icelandic lamb dinner on last Sunday night, and that was amazing. Every single night was just something different. And I've tried the dried fish that's almost like our beef jerky we have, but it's fish and it's, in my opinion, absolutely disgusting. But my coach says that that you either like it or you hate it, basically. And I was not a fan, but the lamb was amazing that they made, as well as all of the other meals.
That's the dried fish as opposed to the hakarl, which is the infamous fermented Greenland shark that they sell in stores as sort of a gimmick.
Yes. So I haven't had the opportunity to try that yet, but my coach is very adamant about trying that, as well as he told me that if you go into the capital at any like decent restaurant and order a steak, you're most likely going to get horse meat. And that kind of took me back for a second because obviously in the United States that's not common. Other
That we
countries it
know of.
is. Yeah, that we know of.
Don't you remember
But
the IKEA meatballs controversy from a few years ago?
Oh yeah, that's
Oh,
right.
why
Yeah.
it was they were thinking it was horse?
They apparently tested it and it was in fact horse. Some of it.
Oh,
Not all of it.
geez. Yeah. But yeah, that's com I guess that's common here. And it was funny because I was talking to one of my teammates and I was just kind of like shocked that this was so common. And she's like, "Oh, well, it's not the grown horses, it's usually just the ponies." Like, does
Oh,
that
okay. That
make
makes it so much better. Yeah.
it
Yeah, I was also taken aback by the fact that there is minke whale and puffin on some menus. Though now puffin is much less common than it used to be. It's not endangered, but it's not as commonplace. There aren't as many of them. It used to just be like, I don't know, starlings or something on the coast, and now they're
Right,
much
yes.
lower in number.
My coach also wants to get smoked puffin meat for me to try, so
Can't do
I
it,
will let
sorry.
you know.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I
You
was going to say, it's
better
like
you than me.
it is 6:28. We're recording at 6:28 Eastern on, on Thursday. We have now lost our audience when we're talking about eating the horses. And
Yeah,
yeah.
right.
So starting to
But
feel kind of like a Simpsons episode or something.
we have officially derailed. No better transition from talking about eating puffins to talking about the first two games, right?
Right.
So you actually missed the first game due to quarantine and obviously some of the flight issues that you were talking about. But game one, you told us you got 25 and 11, number one. Obviously, we're very proud of that and tweeted that out and everything. Get to say it face to face. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And really can skip ahead to game two. Got even better. Congratulations on that. But we'll jump back to game one, 25 and 11. You're more importantly, your team won. Take us through your first professional game.
Yeah, so it was interesting with warm-ups and everything was all a little bit different, but obviously basketball is basketball no matter where you are. The most interesting thing that I found that honestly kind of makes sense is that at 3 minutes, a buzzer sounds and you go to your bench and they do introductions, so they'll announce everybody on the team, and then you go back out and warm up for a minute and a half or whatever it might be. And I was a little obviously confused about that, like, oh, what's going on? Why are there buzzers going off? But I actually think that does kind of make sense. So you have a little bit of time after the introductions to warm up. But as far as the basketball games, I feel like the refs, after probably two or three plays, realized that I'm not from Iceland, and so they would speak English to me, which was very nice. And then again, going back to basketball is basketball, I was able to understand everything, even if they were speaking Icelandic, just because with the flow of the game, you know what's going on, you know what calls they're calling. But the one thing that I found, I think that took me back in the first game at least, was that it's much more physical and things you could. I maybe it was just the refs, but one play you could get absolutely murdered on a foul and they wouldn't call anything, but then a next little reach in, a ticky-tack foul, they would call. So it's kind of just adapting to those refs. The refs this past game were a little bit better about being consistent, I would say, but the girls are very physical and very strong, and that was kind of the first thing that I noticed. I was extremely sore the next day. After the first game.
So is that something that, I mean, do you feel like is that something as the games that are going to be going on that you're going to have to adapt to, like whether it means, lifting more or, I mean, how do you think you might adapt to that if that's the case?
Yeah, I think that it's more of adapting to the way the refs will call it. If you're I don't know. I would say, yeah, like adapting to the way the refs will call it. If you take it to the basket and you get absolutely murdered and they don't say anything and they don't call anything, maybe next shot would be a pull up instead of trying to go all the way. I think it would just be adapting to that. And for the most part, I would say that I'm just as strong as a lot of these girls, but with the foul situation, if you don't get a call, obviously there's really nothing you can do about it. But yeah, I would just say like adapting to the way that the refs are calling the game more so.
So as far as your team is concerned, I know you have done a really good job in your first few games. Your team is 2-1. Do you feel like after the difficult season that your team had last year, that this is something that is significant for them to get these two wins under their belt as the season gets started and get off to a good start?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And it's amazing to see how happy everybody is for everybody after the games. There's just so much excitement with the basketball, I think, in general in Iceland. And after the games, our team is giving each other hugs and high fives and cheering. And so it is great to see everybody so happy. And no matter if it's the people that played mainly the whole entire game or those who were on the bench, everybody is just as excited as the next person to get the wins. And that's honestly one of the best feelings to be a part of a team like that. Because, you know, not all teams have little drama and have all of the support from everybody.
So this is actually kind of an interesting question. I know when you were first joining the team, you didn't necessarily know what the composition of the roster was. And we knew that at that point in time, you were the only American that was signed. I think that's still the case, right? That you're still the only American on your roster. And as far as the roster composition goes, do you know, has there been any other changes or is this largely the same group as last year plus you?
So since this is the first year that Hamar's town has merged with another town, we do have a few new players from this new town. But for the most part, which I also find this really interesting, we have about 5 girls that are from the age 15 to 17, and then about 4 or so girls from about 17 to 19, and then myself, who I'm 22, one girl's 23, and then we have a 35 and a 40-year-old. And
wow.
So it's a very, yes, the age difference is a lot different than I expected, but going back to like the team, you wouldn't realize that everybody gets along. And the 40-year-old is amazing. She had a double-double, I think, last game. She's absolutely amazing. And she's played at the very high levels in Iceland. And she's just, her basketball IQ is through the roof. So it's really fun to play with such different levels. And the younger girls are just basketball heads themselves. They love basketball. They're just always in the gym. And I think that it's interesting to see the difference in the age groups. And for me to be right in the middle of it, I think is really interesting.
That's pretty remarkable that you have teenagers on the, a lot of teenagers on the team with you, especially ones that are as young as you mentioned. I mean, you know, 14, 15 years old, that's young to be on a professional basketball squad.
Yes.
And I mean, if I'm just following the numbers there in terms of who we're talking about, I mean, even if you start from oldest and go down to youngest, I think that means that, I mean, unless I'm doing my math wrong, it sounds like you've pretty much got somebody that's 17 to 19 year old that would be starting almost by default.
Yes, we actually have, I believe, she is 16 years old and she's starting. Yes.
Wow.
And yeah.
And so, I mean, obviously you are only two games in and haven't necessarily seen what the other opponent was doing. Do you know if that's common or like in this tier?
I think that it is common, not as drastic as our team. Our team is very, very young. For the most part, most teams do have majority older girls, and these younger girls will be on the team and come to practice, but a lot of times not get the opportunity to dress for the games or to even play at that. But for the most part, we're very young. And yeah, there's young girls in other teams, but not quite like ours, I don't think.
That is remarkable. Is this So are those from the other team that you merged with, or were some of them on the roster from last year?
I believe some of them were on the roster from last year, but a few of them were from this other town that we merged with.
That's remarkable.
Yeah. So as far as, you know, you practiced a little bit earlier. So number one, thank you for fitting us into your schedule and everything like that. Mm-hmm. Number two, what seems to be the focus for the team heading into, well, I mean, I guess you said that there's now like a 2-week delay, but what is it that the team's working on and that you're maybe working on in terms of getting acclimated to them?
Yeah, I think that for us, the big part is just to kind of slow the game down. A lot of what it seems like European basketball is quick and they like to press. We get pressed the whole entire game. But for us, with the numbers that we have as well and the experience levels that we have, we kind of just want to slow the game down and kind of beat them in the half court with just running our plays, back screens, stagger screens, just going through all of those and kind of perfecting those and taking care of the ball as well. When we do get pressed the whole entire game, sometimes that can get rough.
Yeah, that the old Arkansas, you know, 40 minutes of hell.
Yep. Yeah. Now you're actually in your apartment, right?
I am, yes.
So what's the setup there? Like, is it one bedroom, one bath, like kind of small? What are we looking at here?
Yes. So it's small and it's old, but it's has a living space, a tiny kitchen, a bathroom and a bedroom. And it's perfect. I don't really need anything else. And I'm happy with it. I have not much furniture right now. They're bringing more of that on Monday. And I think I'm going to make a trip to IKEA tomorrow for just stuff to kind of make it feel more like home.
Skip the meatballs. No, sorry.
Well, I mean, going to IKEA, you know, in a Scandinavian country, you know, it seems appropriate. It's like home for them as well, I'm sure.
Yes.
What's your daily schedule like over there at this point?
So I'm still waiting on getting a coaching position with just like a little girls team helping coach. And so with that, I'm just waiting on the car to be fixed. Once the car's fixed, I'll be able to kind of get into more of a routine in the schedule, because right now I have absolutely nothing during the day until practice. And for someone like me, that does kind of drive me crazy. So I'm hoping the car will be fixed soon and I'll be able to get in kind of more of a routine of going and coaching the girls team earlier in the day and then having practice after. And then also just for the car aspect, being able to go and explore during the day when I have nothing to do until 7 o'clock at night. So I've just been taking walks around. The weather has been nice, luckily, not too much rain recently. And tomorrow's supposed to be 47 and sunny, which isn't bad. I'm going to enjoy the days that I have until it turns into snow and wind and ice.
You're listening to Fallon Stevens on Expat Hoops. She's updating us on her time in Iceland as she embarks on her professional career. You can listen to our first talk with her, where she tells us about her college career at Delphi University and how she got to Iceland, as well as all of our previous podcasts on giantkiller.co and the By George Podcasting Network on Spotify. Depending on where you're listening to this, you already know about one of them. We're also starting to record video pods using the latest and greatest video chatting tech, which are posted on our YouTube channel. You can also find snippets of wisdom, highlights, and pictures on our Instagram and Twitter pages. Now back to the interview on Expat Hoops.
So, do you have any decision on where you can travel yet, whether it's within the country, or I'm not sure what your movement would be like to other countries in Europe at this point in time, but I know that's something we talked about the last time that we had you on. Have you started thinking a little bit more into, okay, this is going to be my plan of action now?
Oh yeah. So this weekend we actually have off. And so my friend who signed with my same agent, who's only 30 minutes away from me, we're going to Diamond Beach and Glacier Lagoon this weekend, and we're going to spend the weekend there, which will be amazing, and hopefully I'll have more pictures to send you guys. But as far as traveling to other countries, it's really limited right now just because of how strict Iceland has been with I'll have to come back and quarantine for the 5 days again and get the 2 test. And so I'm still hoping that things will get better by Christmas, because my coach actually told me that the break that we have is almost a month off, a little bit less. And so I'll obviously probably end up coming home. But it just all depends on how that quarantine is. Cause I've heard that New Year's Eve here and New Year's Day is amazing. And it's the most biggest fireworks show that you will ever see. So I kind of want to be here for that. But at the same time, obviously would love to spend it with my family. So I don't know. It just depends on how the quarantine rules go and what's happening with COVID and in the world at that time. And who knows, honestly.
We've wanted to spend New Year's in Iceland. I mean, everybody buys fireworks there to benefit the people that save all the tourists from the glaciers.
Yes.
And the whole city just is ablaze with fireworks. It's quite something. They live stream it every year, so we're able to look at that.
Yeah, so that is something that I want to do. So we'll see what ends up happening. But yeah, my coach was telling me that everybody buys. So a fun fact is actually that anybody can go and buy these fireworks and resell them to people, he said, but you just get looked down upon if you don't go and buy them from the people who go and save you from the mountains and from all of this stuff, because those guys are actually volunteers. Mm-hmm. And so they don't even get paid. So this is kind of their way of making money, and also goes towards their equipment and stuff like that.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
By now, this is your second appearance here. And we talk with you often outside of this. You're less of a guest and also a listener. What have you liked so far about the episodes that we've done? What have you listened to that you've liked? And are you a Mason fan now? Like, we're Adelphi fans?
Yes, I am. And I also saw the new Jordans that you guys retweeted. Those are pretty cool.
They are. You should hit up Ike Tate like Mike Morrison did and get some swag from him.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. I would say really my favorite part honestly has to be the fans in Greece and Cyprus that you guys had a conversation with. I just can't imagine the poppets being thrown on the ground and coins in the basket shaking. And I think that was one of the things that have stuck with me the most, just along with everybody else's experience and just seeing how much basketball means to everybody else and where it takes everybody, I think is just remarkable. Getting to see the world just because of a sport is something that I think is really cool. But for sure, the fans in different countries really intrigues me. We don't have great, well, fun fact, we actually didn't have fans at our last game because of COVID. But the first game there were fans and everybody cheers really loud, but we had no basket shaking or coins being thrown, thank God.
They gotta step up their game.
Flares or
I know
things. Yes. You know, other unsundry types of stuff. Right. I'm sure Icelanders can be that rowdy, but I don't feel like that's in their
to have a conversation, I think, with those firefighters about look, can we get these fireworks at the basketball games?
Yeah, there we go.
Right.
Because the firefighters really want the fireworks to be indoors and
just the way they were intended.
Exactly. Yeah. Very peaceful people. So they're not going to be doing that anytime soon, but I would love to experience that at some point.
Well, that's one of the things that I think that in doing this podcast, I've listened to, Mike and Ike talk about how that, at a certain level they got going and, they killed basically. It's just so far Fallon's in 2 games and she's killing. So you're doing really well so far. And that's something that whether you choose to play another year, where you decide to play, it's just already 2 games in, you're doing great. So
thank you. Yeah.
I mean, the results speak for themselves.
It's great to play. It's great to play again. It's been 7-8 months. So it's great to play again.
One of the things that this podcast is all about, I mean, when we talk about people that are playing professionally overseas, we're talking about people that are able to continue their basketball career after college. That's not something that everybody can get a chance to do. Mm-hmm. We talked in the last podcast about how you were a Division II athlete, and not all Division II athletes, in fact, probably very few of them, go on to really play prominent roles professionally. You're doing well, you're getting started, and it's certainly nice to see that. And it's nice to, I mean, we're learning as we go, but at the same time, we root for everybody that we have here because they're continuing their career. They're doing something that is important to them and they're getting paid for it and they're seeing the world. It definitely is a big deal in that regard. I did want to ask you, from a basketball perspective, your upcoming opponents. Have you gone through, learned anything about your upcoming opponents? What can you tell us about your next game or two and what you're going to be facing?
Yeah, so it's interesting because I don't even know the schedule of who we're playing and when we're playing them, but every single time that a team in our conference or league plays, a lot of times it streams on Facebook. So I've been able to watch a couple games on Facebook, and my friend who is signed with the same agent, Ashley, I've been able to watch her a couple times, as well as there are two other Americans that I know of who are playing in this league. And one's actually from Virginia Tech or Virginia. And then the other is from Seattle.
You got to be very careful. Which one is it?
Yeah. I'm pretty
positive. As somebody who grew up in Virginia, you got to be careful on this one.
I'm pretty sure it's Virginia. It's Virginia. And then the other's from Seattle. So it's interesting watching them and kind of seeing how they're doing and seeing how they have adapted to their team. And I think that I've been very lucky to have come into welcoming arms and hands, and everybody is just asking me if I need anything. And on the floor, everybody is just rooting for each other. It's actually funny because in the first game, our starting point guard, who I think is an amazing athlete, she got in foul trouble. So every practice up until this next game, I told her no foul trouble, no foul trouble. And this last game, I got a fourth foul and she said, "Oh, Fallon, what about no foul trouble?" I was like, "Hey, okay, so we can joke with each other." So it's nice because that's kind of like my personality, with just joking with each other and joking with other people. So it's been nice. And I think that I fit in really well with just the people around. But it's also been nice to watch how other people are doing on the Facebook Live or whatever, the live stats. So it'll be interesting because I have yet to play a team that has another American on it. So I'm not sure when that next game will be or if they'll have an American. But another thing that I've learned is that I believe the cutoff period is sometime in November. Teams up until November can get a player, and then starting in January again, they can bring in a player. So midway through the season, one of these teams, because we play each team three times, which I think is a lot, but we play these teams three times and each time they could have a new player. But in this league, only one foreign player is allowed on the team at a time. So
that's quite a low interesting limit.
Yes, it is. So it'll be interesting to see if they do bring in anybody. And it is a low limit because it's interesting because I know that our men's team, who is in the same league as us, they have three. So I'm not quite sure why that would vary between women's and men's, but of course it does.
Yeah, I'd be interested in an explanation for that, actually, to see where that why that differs so much.
All right, Fallon. Big question for you.
Yes.
Have you gotten into tickling?
I have. And it's the oddest thing that I think I have ever watched.
Right now, Tony is, what the hell is happening? Just as I told you. So just to bring everybody up to speed here, including Tony, who had no idea this was coming, there was a documentary that Vicky and I, my wife, watched. We found on Amazon Prime. It was Tickled, right?
Tickled, yes.
Tickled, which also there's a follow-up to it. But without giving away too many spoilers, it was about the world of competitive tickling. And we're like, there's no way this is real. We watched it and were just blown away by it in terms of how bizarre it was. And lo and behold, in doing research for the first time we had you on, I was just like, oh, Adelphi's in Garden City, New York. Pops up in the documentary that the guy behind this at the time lived in Garden City, New York. I was like, I'm pretty sure that's where Adelphi is. So I brought this up to Fallon, and that's how we started talking about the world of competitive tickling. And I said, you know what? This would be a great idea for us to talk to you on the pod and be like, oh my God, Andy's gone off the rails. And then when you actually acknowledged, I know what he's talking about, Tony's like, what have I walked into?
You said earlier in the pod that we went off the rails, but that's not true.
Yeah.
We went off the bridge. Like, send help.
So yeah, have you actually watched the follow-up one? Because I have not.
I haven't. No, okay. I haven't yet. But it was interesting in watching this. And in the end, it takes you right to Garden City. And it's just so weird because I drove those streets every single day. And I've gotten Starbucks from that Starbucks in the movie. And I believe that he was actually staying in the Garden City Hotel.
Hmm.
It seemed like. It looked like, at least. But, oh, yeah. It's so interesting just because all of those streets and this weird guy who's in charge of this weird thing.
Was in charge. No spoilers. I don't want to get too many spoilers for the... I looked him up because I was like, how has this evolved over the last 4 years? Because I think this aired in 2016. And
mm-hmm.
He is no longer with us, shall we say.
Good.
Yeah.
That's good, probably.
Wow, this is quite a promotion for this particular documentary when people are saying, oh, this guy, I guess if you're going to start a professional tickling league, that sort of is a dead giveaway that you're going to not exactly be normal.
Yeah, it's, I mean, we could
only
do,
male as well.
Yeah, we need to do an entire podcast on this, like a series based on this and just dissecting it. It's
Andy, that's all you. I'm out. See you later.
Yeah. I'm not sure I have the stomach for it, but like Fallon and I have talked offline about like where she's been like, how is this all legal? I'm like, some of it's not, and he's just getting away with it at
there
the
you
time.
Go, see.
So
how is it legal is a bit of a leading question. You gotta work your way back a little bit and be like, so maybe it's not. Gotta keep that in mind.
Yep. So that was the fun part that we had planned for you, Tony. We laid that trap for you. We're gonna have to go back and freeze frame by frame. This is the part where Tony's just like, do I get off or yeah, so this time we talked about tickling. Last time we talked about the Zac Efron. So, you know, who knows what we have for the third podcast. It's just good to see you. Hear that you're doing well. Obviously, every Tuesday, I'm like, it's Tuesday. What point do I send her the message? How'd you do? You pretty much just have to drop it on me so I have to stop asking, but we definitely want to know. We also probably should share the link at some point. Maybe on our Twitter page or something where you can follow along. You know, like you said, the information's a little bit scarce, but there is a page that we're using to follow along, and we'll have to share that as well. Obviously, really happy that you're doing well so far. And unfortunately, it sounds like your next game is like 2 weeks away from now, hopefully.
Yes, two-ish, possibly three.
Maybe more.
Hopefully it's not a continuation. Let's just hope that their outbreak of 90 people gets under control.
If only we had that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Fallon, thank you very much for being on today. And we look forward to having you back in a few weeks when you can talk more about it as well. What do you think?
Yes, that would be great. And I'll be sure to send you guys pictures as well from this weekend.
Oh, yes, please do. So, I mean,
hopefully they turn out well.
Good luck trying to top the first five or so that you send us. Those were beautiful.
I'm excited about this location, and I have a drone with me. I don't really know how to work it, but my friend and I we're going to test it out. So if I get anything cool, I'll be sure to send it your guys' way.
Oh,
excellent. That's
there. You go.
Content.
There's the hook for the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Find out whether Fallon or not knows how to operate the drone.
I
could tell you I wouldn't be able to. So.
That was Fallon Stevens back again on Expat Hoops. Good luck to her in Iceland. She'll be back with us sometime in the future to update us again on how she's doing.
In the meantime, you can follow along with her and her team in the town of Hamar on the links provided on our social media, as well as Eurobasket.com, the source for all things European continental basketball. We have some great guests lined up soon, but to be in the know, you have to follow us on social media. We're on YouTube with video content, as well as Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Expat Hoops. Follow and subscribe to be the first to know what we're up to and see those picks that Fallon sent us. Be sure to tune in next time as well as we talk to Americans overseas about their experiences. Special thank you to Antonio Hernandez, as always, for the music. I'm Tony Budney, alongside Andy Hoverman. Join us next time on Expat Hoops.